We're going.
We the best show here.
And that's something like shit.
Pizza, pizza.
Yeah, I gotta put on my good sweatpants.
Big O Showtime!
You were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's back. Don't like the cats, you can get off your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that'll get bad.
What the hell?
And I see sounds like a bad
don't
audio.
Don't worry
bad.
About it.
Found tech show. Just sit right there, go together, just about to begin.
Dane with the loose cable.
What? Welcome to episode 888 of the Living Sling Tech Show. First of 2021 on the show tonight, we have Pat.
Happy New Year.
We have Joe.
Hello.
We have Joel.
Good evening.
Something is causing...
Dan's got shit audio tonight on the playing machine.
Oh, I wonder if it's this network cable.
Why would the network cable cause that? It sounds like a sound cable.
Well, it's running. I'm wondering if something's running across this audio cable. We're getting too close. Because that's what it sounds like. Yeah, let me just see something.
You were making it pretty young in the kitchen.
Listen.
Sushi.
It sounds like something's. You hear that? I wonder if this audio cable's going bad.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like, is a bad audio cable.
Sushi.
Well, it sounds like the 3.5 millimeter jack's going bad on your audio cable.
Yeah, that's weird.
Right. You were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Maybe I need to replace
it. You were making egg foo young.
Maybe I should do this. I'll try and fix that later. At some point, doing it in the middle of the show, that's going to piss everybody off.
Yeah.
They love... people love when we do that stuff. Sorry.
You could have been playing Dobba, which we haven't played in years.
I got it around here somewhere, I think.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
Yeah. Who doesn't like a good old piece? I wonder whatever happened. To my Dobra. I have the CDs.
I don't know.
Huh.
But, let's talk a little tech today. I think I fixed my network problems I've been having for a while since I moved into the apartment. In any character, any raid, I should say. When we moved from the house to the apartment, at least once or twice a week, maybe more, the 5 gig network would just become unresponsive. I'm not exactly sure why, but my router that I have was about 4 or 5 years old, and I decided, well, let's go ahead and look at replacing it. We're going to want to have probably newer technology anyway, because since I bought the other one, there have been some progressive improvements been made to the Wi-Fi standard, which is all the way up to Wi-Fi 6 now, which I think is a technically just an extension of the AC stuff, you know. And I have several devices that actually support it. My phone supports it, and my iPad supports it. So does my son's phone. Not sure about my laptops. So I looked for routers that supported Wi-Fi 6, and I decided upon a Asus AI Mesh, which is their mesh networking router. It's the Asus Zen Wi-Fi AX Mini. The Mini, basically, wait. Each of the units are about the size of a Bluetooth speaker. So go ahead, Dan.
Oh, I was just gonna say. Wouldn't you like to know?
There you go. Wouldn't you like to know? Play that later. Play us out with that.
Wouldn't you like to know?
What? How do I stop it?
Stop it, man. Stop it so we can continue. Anywho, so, and one of the reasons why I went with Asus was I really liked my old Asus router. I actually still have my old Asus router, and it works just fine. It's just in and I think the biggest thing that was holding up the other router was that the Wi-Fi environment with 24 apartments in one building was just too hostile to the old stuff.
Well, you just didn't crank up the power, lock off everybody else's Wi-Fi.
No, because I'm not a dick.
Did you at least run a Wi-Fi analyzer to see if there were any bands that were open?
I did, and with the bands that my current router at that time that I have support, there really wasn't any. Now, so if I look at
the only bands that were open were the Japanese ones that you're not supposed to use anyway.
Probably.
What's that, like 12 or something?
I don't know for sure, but I know that Wi-Fi 6 did several things. Like, for example, the bandwidth of the signal is actually wider on the new router than the old one was, which helps.
5 gigahertz probably would have worked for you since it's a bit shorter range and is usually blocked by walls.
Well, see, that's the other thing, too. I'm thinking that our walls might be made of more sterner stuff than my house as well, since it's an apartment.
Right. But, and once again, the solution is crank up the power and annoy your neighbors.
Yeah. Well, the mesh networking, though, has been phenomenal. I mean, it was so easy to set up.
Now that you have the mesh network, you can crank up the power on that and really annoy your neighbors.
True. But I won't do that. But and for now, now see, the only kind of downside with that, some of the mesh systems have a 160 megahertz network for the backhaul, which basically means the 5 gig network and the 2 gig networks would be completely given over to your wireless clients, like laptops and stuff like that. Unfortunately, this one doesn't have that 160 megahertz backhaul, but each node does have a Ethernet jack on it. So once I move to the house, which I'll have a update on that here right after this, once I move to the house, each node will be wired, so the backhaul will be completely wired. So and with regards to the house, I'm probably going to end up paying, it's $540 to do 4 drops from my bonus room, one to the great room, one to each bedroom. So, and I'm going to probably pay them to do that.
Will they do that for you while they're building it?
Yes.
Okay, because, it's a lot more expensive to get it done afterwards, I would assume.
Exactly. Well, and it would be a pain in the ass to kind of go through all the house. So at least now it'll all be wired. So, like, I'm having them put the terminate the jacks in the bonus room. They're going to be right next to the cable, which I do have a cable in that room as well. And they do make us put a phone line in, even though I'm never going to hook it up.
But is it required or something?
It's in the code.
Tell them to put in the phone line that they're required to put in, but accidentally make it Cat 6e.
I actually, well, probably already is Cat 6e. It's just going to have a wire that goes out to the phone box out on the back of the house. It'll never get a connection.
Right.
unless for some dumb reason I decide to go with AT&T, which is not bloody likely. But but that's and really honestly, I wouldn't need it there because there will be a node on top of the entertainment center in the great room, which is like right next to the kitchen anyway. So we should have good Wi-Fi. The Asus says the 3-node system that I have will cover 4,000 square feet. That's more than my house. And I might pick up an extra node or two so that I can just put some other nodes. Well, what I would probably end up doing with that is I'd probably end up putting, let's see, I'd have the main node that would be in my office. I might put an extra node in my office, like closer to my desk, and then just run a cable from where the router is to my to where the other node would be. And then, so I'd have two nodes up on the second floor, and then I would put one in the great room. Then I would put one, see, I have three now, so I put one in the great room, one in my wife's office, and then one in my bedroom. So if I bought two more nodes, I think two more nodes is only like an extra 150 right now at this point. So, and I'm planning on looking at probably a month or so prior to us closing, I'm going to look at buying the appropriate cable modem for Spectrum so that I no longer – I told my wife that. I said, I want to buy her a cable modem. She's like, well, what did we do before? I said, we paid rent $10 a month. She's like, why did we do that? I'm like, oh, just because that's just how we always did it. I said the only downside is if the cable modem craps out, we have to buy another one. And she's like, well, yeah, but that doesn't happen often. I'm like, you're right. So
basically what you're saying is Rich was right.
I will never say Rich was right. No, I'm kidding. I there's pluses and minuses to both. The plus is I don't have to pay the extra $10 a month. Not that the extra $10 a month was a strain on my budget at all. It's just that once I told my wife that, she's like, well, why don't we do that? And I'm like, all right, fine, we'll do that.
Well, you got to figure, you know, you get yourself even a $150 modem. If it lasts a year and a half, guess what? It's paid for itself.
Right. Well, and that's what I also the other side of that coin too there is I can pick out which one I get. I don't just get which, you know, as long as it's supported right. by Spectrum at right. the you, appropriate you can get level I need.
It's actually reviewed to run at the speeds that you need as opposed Correct. To the one that they say runs at those speeds but is really a piece right. of garbage.
Right. So, and not to mention the fact I can buy one that's just the modem, and I don't have to put I don't have to put up with buying one that has a router built into it or Wi-Fi built into it. Like, for example, the
right.
the
you one can bring I'm your renting, router with you.
Right. Well, the one I'm renting from AT&T, which you know I think they don't give you a choice, but the one I'm renting for AT&T. Has Wi-Fi in it, and it has four port network ports in it. I don't need any of that. I just need cable and one Ethernet port. That's it. I don't need the rest of that. I don't need VoIP. I don't need Wi-Fi built into it. That's all I want.
I need to dig out a couple of my dual band routers and hook one up in the garage. But has anybody been keeping track of the prices of cryptocurrency?
No, it's probably going up now.
Dude, it's crazy. Previously, you know, the high was from 3 years ago, I think, of $20,000 or just under $20,000. Right now, it's sitting at $37,000 for Bitcoin. And that's just a major jump. I mean, I've only got like a small amount in cryptocurrency just to play around with it, and it more than doubled in the past 2 weeks.
Wow, Stop that's that, terrible. Dan.
Sorry. I don't know what you did, Dan, but you broke it.
Sorry.
So, woo. What's that, man?
What is that? Where's...
It's all coming for you, man.
You got a dial-up connection?
I might as well.
That's what it sounds like, man.
It's about fucking time someone else is.
Brutal.
It's got to be this cable.
It's going bad. Sorry. Yep. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, time to bust out the soldering iron and the new 3.5 millimeter jack.
There you go. So, but as part of that, I texted my superintendent because we have to pay that fee before framing's complete. So I wanted to find out when that is going to start. And right now, kind of the status I got in the house is they're currently doing underground plumbing. Once that passes inspection, they'll prep the slab, and they'll get an inspection after that. And then they'll pour concrete, and after that, framing can start depending on weather and framing availability. They should start around it's the 21st through the 28th is when they should start framing. So once framing's good, it's going to go quick. So, but lots of little finish work and stuff to do, and the wiring and the cabling and drywall. We'll have a pre-drywall conference before they do the drywall, but because then at that point we can go through and make sure all the framing's right, all the insulation's good, things like that.
About the time we have the next presidential election.
Shh, no. And we ain't talking about that shit show.
You mean your house getting finished?
Well, you either could be a shit show, but I was talking more of the election. But
but yeah, my wife is watching the footage out of Washington right now.
She shouldn't. She really shouldn't.
Yeah, it's nasty.
The only thing I have to say about it is the extremes are both pissing me off at the moment. That's the only thing I'm going to say.
For your house?
No. Oh. The politics.
All right. Well, we don't need to talk about that. We need to talk about your house.
And we absolutely don't need to talk about that.
Talk about your house. So, how much is it going to cost? $500, you said? Or was it $5,000?
Yeah, $540 for the four drops. We'll pay the electrician directly. Yep.
Oh.
So, they're going to run, they're going to have four of them right next to each other in the office.
Four drops? I mean, like, every room in the house needs it. Including
every
the attic.
Every room in the house will have it. The ones going in into the...
every room in the house, the garage, the room over the garage.
I don't need Wi-Fi. The room over the garage, which is my
kitchen.
Office, is over the garage. It's going to have plenty of Wi-Fi. I don't care.
All the bathrooms.
But bathrooms, no. That's stupid.
You need a Peter 64 shower.
The closet.
A Peter 64 shower. As long as it's not crapping in a bag, I don't care.
do you have your house wired up, every room in your house, Joe?
Hey, no, it's so expensive. It cost me $300 to get one drop.
Wow.
One drop.
For that price, you could buy the spool and the crimpers and all the tools you need to do it yourself.
They had to fish that stuff through the wall, though.
No, they didn't. This was run along the outside of the house, over top of the garage. So drill two holes and run a cable, and that was it.
There you go. Now.
And $300.
I may have to buy another switch or two. I've got two switches now, one in my office and then one because the main one I needed more right where the Wi-Fi is here. I had another switch. I had two switches in my office at one point, so now one of those switches is out in the living room because the only thing I don't like about this mesh system is the main router only has the WAN port and one other Ethernet jack, and each node only has one Ethernet jack. So that's kind of the only kind of negative I would say about it, but it's not that much of a negative because an Ethernet switch is what, $20-$30 at most for a gig switch for an unmanaged one. So that's fine. Unmanaged is fine. I don't need any of the high tech stuff that
like
we have.
$10.
Well, it just depends on whether you're buying brand new or not. You know, yeah, go to eBay and buy a. You can probably buy a bulk load of 10 switches for $30, maybe, depending on where you go. But I don't need that many. So, I mean, although, like I said, I'll probably have two nodes upstairs if I do it the way I'm planning on doing it, which, you know, that'll we'll see. I got lots of plans for my office upstairs. Most of them won't happen within the first year, but because yeah, I'd like to do things like I'd like to get a either an arcade one-up system or a.
I got one for Christmas.
You did? What'd you get?
What is it? Which one did I get?
You asking us?
Star Wars.
No, I'm asking my wife. I haven't put it together yet.
Oh.
Really surprising for me.
Wait, what did you get?
What was it?
An arcade
Space Invaders.
One up.
Oh.
Oh, Space Invaders. Yeah, the Space Invaders arcade one up, which is what, a quarter scale, I think it is.
Yeah, yeah. With the riser. And I also I purchased the display adapter, and I'm looking for a good price on a set of controls.
You need to hook that up to a CRT, right?
No.
There you go.
No.
Get the old school feel.
No, you can actually, you can probably add the scan lines to it. As well.
I could probably just put a domed screen in front of it and get that.
Yeah. But.
So wait, so have you played, you haven't done anything with it yet, have you?
I haven't done it yet, except order the HDMI adapter so that I can hook up whatever I want to it, because I'm going to turn it into a MAME. I'm going to play it with the Alien Invaders once or twice, and then I'm going to go in there, and I think I'm going to put my Batacera ThinkPad on the inside and run a USB cable up to the front, and until I get, you know, a proper set of arcade controls and USB controller for it, or make my own USB controller for it, just run it with a controller.
What are the, do you have any idea what those, what they use inside? Is it just a custom board that has the game burned into it, so you can't do anything else with it?
Yeah, from what I understand, it's not like, you know, as easily adaptable as Raspberry Pi or anything.
Right.
It's just a single board computer that just plays whatever game is on it.
Right.
And then, like, the control style for that one, I think it's two buttons at most and a joystick.
I have a friend, he's hacked a couple of his to add, not necessarily add stuff to the board that's already on it. I think like he might have took the board out and then put it in the Pi or something like that.
Exactly. And need the display adapter to do that. Like I said,
right.
I ordered the power supply for the display adapter. So that's all ready to go. And then I will
maybe some Sandlot controls to replace the shit controls it comes with, maybe.
Well, if I want to play more than just, you know, the one game that's there, if I want a full amount of buttons.
Is there only one game on a Star on the Space Invaders one? I thought there was more, like, I thought they had Galaxian on it, too.
It has Space Invaders and Space Invaders Color.
Okay. Sweet.
Yeah. And I definitely want to be able to play more on it. So I need more than the controls that are there already. So I might start out buying like just one that's made for a PC that's arcade style, and then later on purchase the actual proper controls and build my own deck in the front.
Yep. The only thing that, you know, I see, and that's the thing too, is I don't know if I want like a universal one, like the Arcade Legends one. I don't know how much I would like that one or not. I mean, I know you can play a lot of games on that, but my biggest things and the games I really want to play are games like Star Wars. I'd love it if some. I don't think they make a Paperboy one. I'd love to play Paperboy, but playing those.
Well, I tell you what. Once I get everything set up, that'll be the first game I play. Paperboy.
Okay, so I'm not sure how that game would play on a joystick.
Well, like I said, I'm also going to have. I'll probably just get a USB extender. one of the round ones.
There you go.
And I'll drill a hole for that and put that in there and hook a regular controller up to it.
Yep. So, like that's one thing I want to put in there. Definitely want to put, like, probably the first things I'm going to put in there is, like, a TV. Because I want to have a TV up there. I'll get one of those ones with the Roku built into it so that I have a actual TV in there in addition to just being able to play games and stuff on it. You know, because I'm going to plan on buying, like, some of the early stuff I'll probably do is, and this is kind of important if you're into retro computing at all. If you have like a Commodore 64 or an Atari 8-bit computer, and you still have the stock power supply, don't use it unless you really, really want to possibly kill your computer, because most often those old power supplies really need recapped. And it's probably just better to go buy which is what I want to do, is go to eBay, and you can buy a pre-wired adapter, switching power supply that produces the right voltage to plug into the Atari. So that way you can preserve the life of that 30-year-old computer. Because they ain't making no more of those things. So, but that's my plan, is to get it so I can hook that up to the TV. And I might get I'm debating whether I would just want to get like a kind of like a similar desk to my main desk here to put the TV on, or if I want to get like a TV stand to put it on, because I might just get a desk like I have, because it could do both. You know, I can use it kind of as an entertainment center and then have the 800XL sitting right next to it, and then I could just, like, for example, if I get the sit stand like I have, when I go to sit back on a couch to watch TV or something, I could just raise the TV up, you know?
Yeah, I was thinking about purchasing one of the risers for the arcade one-up, but I think what I'm going to do is just repurpose one of my filing cabinets, maybe get some decals for it and put it on top.
It'd be a little stronger.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be a little stronger.
Plus I'll have storage.
That's true, too. That's true, too. So stuff like that, I won't put stuff like that in there. And posters and stuff like that, those things are going to probably come early. But some of the things, like, because the other thing is the TV. And, of course, I want a couch right across from the TV and maybe a coffee table in front of that. So that way I have a place to sit my laptop or sit my cup of coffee while I'm watching TV, you know. But, yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Some of that, the furniture might not come right away, but the TV might, you know. And I do have some furniture that's not in the apartment that's going to go in there. I have, like, a cabinet that I had stored, used to store all my filament instead of having it in a box under the table I'm sitting at right now and things like that. So as long as those things survive the move, and they should, then those are going to go up there too. But fortunately, the rest of the heavy stuff, like our bed and the couch and stuff that we have out in the living room now, there's no steps to lift those up. Just move them right in on the first floor, and that's it. So when we're going to do things like my son probably really could use a new bed, because the one he has is a hand-me-down, and he could use a new one. So we might buy him a new bed pretty much right off the bat. I might just heave that bed that he's on now into the landfill once we move. So some of those things, like, I have lots of ideas for that space. And the one thing I know I will need for the space is storage, because there's no closet up there. You know, it's basically just a big room. So I'll probably need to get more additional storage right away as well. So, and some things that I did have in my office at the old house aren't going in there. Namely, I had a tool cabinet in that was there, and that's probably just going to go out in the garage, and I'll have just a subset of tools upstairs with the printer. Specifically, something I just bought with a gift card that I got for Christmas from my dad. The website FilamentFriday.com, otherwise known as Chuck Kulabuck, he sells a toolkit for 3D printing I don't know if it's only on Amazon, but that's where I bought it from. So in there, it's got like a little tool for removing prints from the bed. It's got a set of X-Acto knives.
Spackle knife.
Yeah, and it's got some brushes for cleaning the prints up. It's like matte.
Dental picks are extremely helpful.
Oh, I have some of those actually. Those came with my soldering kit that I got from Radio Shack when they were closing out here. That's one of the things I bought when they clearanced out all their stuff.
Yeah, but if you're trying to clean up a print that had supports or something, yeah, dental picks are helpful.
Yep. But it's also got deburring tool. It came with a glue stick, not that I need that, but it had some files, a pair of needle nose pliers, although not the kind I like. It's the shorter ones. And a pair of cross cuts for cutting a filament off. And just a whole bunch of nice little tools and a bag. It comes with a bag, too. And also I have another digital caliper, too. It came with a digital caliper, which I didn't need that, but it came with the kit, so why not? So it was like $30, I think, for the whole thing. And I got to get to support Chuck Hullabuck, so who's got one of my favorite 3D printing channels.
Yeah, and I'm still debating whether or not I want to buy the Ender 3 V2.
Okay.
Which just came out. But it's still sitting in the $290 range.
What's the V2? Is it bigger than the...
I think it's a little bit taller. It basically comes with all of the upgrades that people would normally put on the Pro.
Oh. So it might have the like the dual gear feeder like I have now and things like that.
I don't know if it has the dual... I don't think it has the dual gear feeder. But, you know, the glass bed, the upgraded power supply, the
Silent
storage
board.
Drawer underneath, all of them come with... Ender has completely got rid of their 8-bit boards and are all 32-bit boards, and their 32-bit boards are much quieter. So they all of their whole line from the Ender 3 to the Ender 3 Pro to the Ender 3 V2, all of them now have the 32-bit board if you buy them directly from them.
Very good.
Yeah, and yeah, the 32-bit board is a definite good upgrade. And it comes with the connectors built in for the auto bed leveling and the and the feed runout.
ABL or the other one. I'm trying to remember what's the other one. BL Touch. That's the other one.
It comes with the one for BL Touch, but it doesn't come with the auto bed leveling like with it already. It just comes with the connector for it.
Okay, and then you probably just had to flash the board again too.
Yeah.
So cool. So that's one thing I bought with gift cards. Another thing I bought, and this is going to turn into a tiny bit of a rant, but in the early 90s. Really, I still am, but I really liked The Next Generation. You know, it came
Everybody
out in 87.
Did.
Yeah, it's a good show. So in
Next 1991, Generation of what, for those people who don't know?
That's right. But in 1991...
What? Of Star Trek, right?
The Next Generation, of course.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. So, in any event, in 1991... Pocketbooks brought out by Rick Sternbach and Michael Okuda, the Star Trek The Next Generation technical guide. Okay. And I had it back when it came out. All right. So I was looking to spend the rest of my Amazon. My dad gave me a Visa gift card, which I just made into Amazon gift card. You know, just loaded my Amazon account up from there. So I was looking then and I saw. They had the technical manual listed, so I thought, well, I don't know where mine's at. X probably in a box in storage, and it's the original one. It's probably 30 years old, and it's had better days. You know, it's old and falling apart. So I thought, let me get another one. All right, so I get it, and I see. I pull it out, and first off, It came, instead of via an Amazon truck, it actually came via USPS, which is a little bizarre. But okay. So, and rather than plop it in front of my door, what did they do? They just squished it into my little vertical tiny apartment mailbox. Okay, not too bad.
Pulled the crap out of it.
Yeah, it didn't actually do much to it. Not that it mattered, because when I opened it, it gets worse. I'm sitting here flipping through it. I'm like, well, wait a minute. I don't remember this being like that. And by that, I'm saying the paper was really thin, like almost newsprint thin. And instead of the original was in two colors, like a bluish kind of a color and black. And they kind of most of the diagrams were in the blue. And the rest of the text was, of course, with the black ink. All right. But what's even worse is you can tell it's a scan. The original book, which I had, I probably still have. It's probably in a box somewhere. You could actually look at, like, if you went to a page in the book where it had an example of the LCARS interface. The LCARS interface, for those who don't remember, was the interface that they used in Star Trek The Next Generation. So you could actually see things in the diagrams in the book that you couldn't see on the show. A lot of the things they did in the show put little, like, Easter eggs in there. So you can actually look at the diagrams and you can actually see those in the book. Not this one. All right. So I'm flipping through it a little bit more and more. I go to the back cover and I notice it says Made in the USA. That's okay. Middletown, Delaware. I thought, well, that's kind of odd. But then further, it says December 28th, 2020, which is the exact same day I ordered it. So guess what? Amazon printed the book and sent it to me. It wasn't printed by Pocketbooks like it normally is. I was a little bit pissed. So I called Amazon support. They actually refunded me the cost of the book, so they made good on that. But then I thought, well, let me see what happens to if you look at the Kindle version, because it's also available on Kindle. The original scan, which I assume was what they used to make the Kindle book. Yeah, on-demand printing, exactly, more Nancy. And but if you look at it, it's exact same scan they used for the version they sent me, and it looks like shit. And it wasn't color either. It could be color because, hey, you can view those on LCDs like a phone or an iPad. So Amazon made it right. One of the reasons I will always be an Amazon customer unless they piss me off too much, which they haven't yet. But, you know, so because they provide great service, better than most shipping services. But just be careful because you never know when if you see that it's all in paperback and also in Kindle. The paperback likely is probably going to be an on-demand, is my guess.
Was it $14.99?
Yeah, $14.99. Yeah, and if you look, it says print date 1991 in the listing.
You see a paperback November 1st, 1991. I'm like,
yep.
I'm surprised that somebody hasn't complained about this in the.
They have.
Oh, they have.
Actually, oh, I forgot.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Look under reviews. It says it in the reviews, but guess what? I tried to review it, and it said we're not accepting reviews on this product from this Amazon account. That was before I asked for the refund. I'm like, who'd I piss off? But yeah, if you look at it, this is something too. Read through the reviews if you're buying a book like that on Amazon. It's probably going to be the easiest way to find out if it's a reprint or not.
I think Xerox actually published this. I would rather.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, it looks like it too. Like one of the pages I looked and it has like the side view of the Enterprise. You know, that shows you the internal view, mm-hmm. And you can actually see the text from the back from the page behind it through the paper. It's that shitty.
So are they doing print on demand stuff?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. My guess here is most people who get something like that, like for example, say you bought a Star Trek novel or something, it was a reprint from one of the older novels or something, you wouldn't care about it. You would just read it and you'd be happy.
Right?
But
pictures.
This is something with
works.
Artwork. Yeah.
That's wow.
This had lots of artwork in it. Now, a lot of it actually looks pretty decent, but certain things that, which are like the reasons you buy this kind of a book, were just shitty looking. I mean, at least, like I said, Amazon made it right, but they still haven't updated the listing, and they probably won't, because let's be honest, they're not going to lose a lot of money on it.
Yeah.
So.
And if somebody complains, they just give the money back and move on to the next sucker.
That's right.
That's weird, because I always felt that, or thought that, you know, something like print on demand would be more expensive than printing out like 100 copies.
Well, I think that's actually close to what the original cost was back in the 90s, too. I mean, it's not horrible.
Because they say the price is $25.95, but it's discounted to $14.99.
Yeah.
That's just, wow.
And you can definitely tell, like if you're not sure about this one, you know, and you want to verify me, just go to eBay and look up that book on eBay, and there's actual original copies on eBay for like anywhere between $8 to $15, depending on, you know, some of that's including shipping. But you'll see some of the listings actually have printouts of inside the book, and you'll see that it was two color. And it's like, yeah. And for this is, you know, for some people, this is semi-collectible. I didn't buy it because I'm collecting it. I just bought it for
nostalgia.
That
doesn't even count as a reprint.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's just, they don't say it on the listing. I mean, that's actually really the thing that ticked me off more. If it said it was a reprint, I probably would have just moved on and not bought it in the first place, you know. But it didn't even say that, and that's the thing that kind of bothers me more about the whole situation. I'm like, whatever.
But, it's interesting because, like, when I'm looking through the listing here, third one down after that is the Star Trek Next Generation Technical Manual paperback 2010 edition for $40. I wonder if that one's closer, but there's no reviews on that or anything, so I have no
idea.
They
just laminated the printed pages.
Oh, is that it?
That was all.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, it's just kind of nuts. It just drives me nuts, you know, when somebody tries to get away with something, it's like, be honest. You know, if you're reprinting it, be honest. That's all I'm saying. You know, but, you know, so, I mean, but at least I didn't have to send it back. So, you know.
Now, you know what's interesting about that, though? Like, I wonder how many
it's
of those
have
made it onto the used market, and if you went to buy it used,
thing, right?
How could you tell whether you're going to be getting the original or one of these?
Just flip to the back page.
Well, I mean, if you're buying it on the used market on Amazon,
right,
you wouldn't really know.
Yep. Well, yeah, especially if they didn't, like, a lot of times. Well, like, I've bought used textbooks before on there. And most of the times you don't get to see what the inside of the book looks like on there.
Yeah. You know, like, the condition is like is good or pretty good or whatever, but how do you know if it's not just somebody bought this Next Generation Technical Manual, which was a print on demand garbage?
Right.
That kind of sucks.
But what's funny though is you look through the reviews and it's got fairly high ratings, but then you do find the ones that I actually marked as helpful. Or they're the 1 and 2 stars. I'm like, I wish I would have saw those before I ordered it, but you know, this went off my back. They Amazon, like I said, Amazon made it right. If they didn't make it right, then I'd be even more ticked off, but that's okay. And I even wrote about this on Gear Diary because I just thought people should know that, you know, you know, and sometimes that's all you want. Sometimes all you care about is the text, you know, but you know, in this case, that's what you're buying it, not just for the text, but you're driving, but laundry's done. but you're buying it for the diagrams, like they got a diagram of the what a warp coil looks like and stuff like that in the Star Trek universe. Of course, it's all fictional, but you know, it's still fun to fantasize about it and look at it, you know. But shoo, that was a good day. Good. Interesting topic to let our users look for. I did share with a group of you guys. Dan was included.
Wait, hold on. Before we move on,
another book thing. But yeah,
I was just gonna add. I mean, I've looked through this whole thing, and aside from the reviews, nothing indicates
it's a reprint, right?
Like a surprise. And it, I honestly, like you're right. If I ordered a typical non-illustrated book, you know, I would probably never know and wouldn't care. But something like this,
you would definitely notice it.
they should have some quality assurance on that or something, or even an indication that this is, like, I don't know,
a scan essentially.
I can understand if you wanted a digital copy of this book, right, so you're not like opening the original one because you want to keep it in good condition or whatever. But yeah, printing out a scan and sending it to me and calling it an original, yeah, that would make me angry.
I will say the outside cover looks pretty much exactly like it did. Yeah, you know, when I bought it in 1981, it was the same kind of binding, the same colors, as far as I can tell. The only thing it might be different is I'm trying to remember if I think it was like some of the design work I thought might have been like a metallic gold, but it isn't on this. I might be wrong. That might be wrong though. Don't quote me on saying that's the way it was. I'd have to actually go find my old copy or get an old copy. So I think the outside pretty much looked the part, you know, looked fine from the outside. If you saw it on the shelf, you would next to the original, you probably wouldn't notice a difference. But when you open it, you definitely can, especially not so, I would say not so much on some of the diagrams. Some of the things are fine. Like it has a lot of different views of the Enterprise D from different angles and stuff. Those are usually fine. It's more like the detailed things. Like there's some flow charts of how the engines are all set up on the Enterprise D, and you can't hardly read some of the text in some of those. So I mean, it's pretty bad. But book related though.
But the digital scans looked good on the ebook.
No, it didn't actually. Ooh. They looked exactly the same.
So all the bleed through and everything because they just used a scanner to do it?
Well, I don't think you probably didn't have some of the bleed through, but like the quality of, like for example, and I only got the sample on the ebook because I didn't want to buy it unless it was like color, you know. But one in the sample only had like maybe the first 10-15 pages in the sample, so there wasn't a whole lot of diagrams in that first few pages, but there was the plaque that they had, the dedication plaque that was on the bridge of the Enterprise D, like a printout of that in there, and it looked awful. I mean, even in the scan it looked awful. So I mean, you can definitely tell the difference, but you know. But
okay, move on to your next book.
Books. We haven't talked about Humble Bundle in a while. And for some dumb reason, Humble Bundle's been showing up in my Facebook feed as an ad. This week they actually had some good Linux books in there. So if you go to humblebundle.com, there's a whole bunch of Linux books that you can get for like $25.
I've gotten their free ones before for Linux books from Humble Bundle.
Yep. I think they're all electronic copy. I think they'll work on Kindle and stuff. Yeah. So, lots of interesting ones there. Plus, there are some Windows software, too. Like, there was a bundle that had Sony Vegas
what software?
In it for Windows.
I don't know that one.
Anyway, and games. Like,
Does it run on Linux?
Yeah, you can a virtual machine, or you can use the Wine.
That sounds like too much work.
Yeah. Right. But there was also, and it is a Windows bundle, unfortunately, but there is an Atari bundle for $8, which has roughly 10, it has like 80 games total, but 10 of them are actual arcade ports, like Asteroids, Space Invaders, so on and so forth. From Atari, but then the rest of them are like 2600 games, so for $8. So of course you have to run them on Windows, unfortunately.
But what is this one you're talking about?
I'm trying to remember where on humblebundle.com, or that's the thing with Humble Bundle, some of these like deals, one of the things I also saw too was they had a video effects pack for like $25, and you hope like a lightning effect and summon, you know, different, basically, essentially video clips that you use for compositing on top of other videos. But I didn't buy that either. But that actually had a limited time, so that's probably already gone. So it's the Sony Vegas package I saw that was on there. But the books I don't think were limited.
Here's one for you, Joe. Beginning Ubuntu for Windows and Mac users. That's if you pay $8.
That's definitely the book that I should get.
You just have to pay $8 more. Although I will say, the hands-on booting looks like it might be interesting. I would
hands-on like that is, you know, always good.
The boot process of Linux, Windows, and Unix. That'd be interesting.
There you go. That.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. Keep going.
I'm actually trying to bring the website up.
So if you pay...
So let me see what's on there now.
If you pay... So for $15 or more... So if you pay $1, you get accelerated development velocity using Docker, beginning modern Unix, hands-on booting, and using and administrating Linux Volume 1. Then for $8 more, you get Volume 2, but there's some other books in there, including Joe's Beginning Ubuntu for Windows and Mac Users. And if you do $15, you get the Volume 3 of using and administering Linux in the bundle. I wonder if there's a Volume 4. No, there's not.
Did you see the on the limited time, the get all January games for $12? One of the games is PC Building Simulator.
No. Wait, was that Lundukes? No, that was an OS.
No, that was something else.
Right up there with the janitorial simulator. Scrub the floors.
Or what's the goat one? Floppy goat?
Simulator?
I can't.
Goat simulator.
Yeah, goat simulator.
Goat simulator. Yeah.
Yeah, I had a friend that says, I bought a PS5, and the only game my kids want to play is a Goat Simulator.
You know, I remember when Humble Bundle used to be a requirement that the games ran on Windows, Mac, and Linux.
What a see, bummer. There's like you see LPIC 3 book. These are all A-Press books, some of which we probably gave away at some point.
Wait, you're looking at the Linux bundle?
Yeah,
Linux by A-Press. I mean, they're some books like I don't know. I don't know if I'd be interested in introduction to ZFS on Linux. I mean, it's pretty interesting.
We got pro Linux system administration, pro SQL Server on Linux.
Where's that?
Linux that's near the bottom. You have to pay like 18 or more.
18. Oh, yeah.
Then you got Linux philosophy for sysadmins, LPIC 3300 practical prep guide, migrating to MariaDB. Learn Windows subsystem for Linux, which there's not much to learn about that. It's actually pretty easy. Get a Octave by example, which I assume that's another language. Audio visualization using THMAD.
Well, see, now so right there, like, why I don't audio visualization using THMAD or THMAD. That seems like an odd choice to throw in there. Like, the audience for that book has got to be, I don't know. I just like,
yeah.
Who?
Kubernetes is another book on the Kubernetes, you know? That's good stuff.
Like, some of this makes sense. Like migrating to MariaDB, learning Windows subsystem for Linux. No, I don't know about that. GNU Octave by example, maybe. Like, all this stuff is like, there's like Linux administration and philosophy and like infrastructure stuff. And then there's audio visualization using THMAD.
Or Linux really sound programming.
Real-time graphics rendering for Ubuntu Linux. It's weird.
Yeah, Humble Bundle's still good stuff, though. I mean,
no, I mean, I'm not trying to knock the book. It just seems like an odd inclusion in there. Like, even Linux sound programming doesn't seem like it fits with the rest of the books.
Yep. There's a cybersecurity and cryptography book bundle, too.
Does that include a guide on using the GIMP in there, too?
Let's see. We have root and even more advice from Schneier on security. That's a good book. 15th anniversary edition of Secrets and Lies, also Bruce Schneier. Shellcoder's Handbook. Let's see. I'm trying to can't read who that's by. Threat Modeling. Practical Reverse Engineering, Malware Analyst, Art of Memory Forensics,
Unauthorized Access. Malware Analyst, Cookbook, and DVD. Don't forget the DVD. Because nothing says electronic book like DVD.
Right. The Art of Intrusion by Kevin Mitnick and William Simon.
I mean, yeah, I like most of the books that Kevin Mitnick has written, so...
I mean, these books look pretty cool. At least they're there's like a coherent theme going on in there.
Right.
That you can see.
You buy the books, it supports the EFF as well.
Oh, that's cool.
If you care about supporting the EFF. Some of us do.
Well, here you go. Front-end web development.
Yeah, that's over in the Linux one, right?
No. It's one of their.
Oh yeah, the front. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, like React and Vue and clean code and JavaScript. This looks pretty cool. Learning Angular. Interesting. That's
Angular JavaScript there.
And then if you unlock the highest tier, I think you can ASP.NET. Core 3 and Angular Nut. I thought ASP, is that still around?
That's a good question.
Oh, pretty cool.
You know what's not still around?
CentOS?
Adobe Flash. At the end of the year,
is it officially dead?
It's officially dead.
It's been dying for an extremely long time now.
Isn't that the truth? I remember when we worked hard to get Flash working on Linux. Remember those days, Dan?
I do.
We're like, damn it, I couldn't watch Pornhub today. I just redid my Linux setup.
Yeah, Flash was...
back in the early days of the show, that was a topic where we were talking about we couldn't watch Pornhub because we could get Flash working.
Well, I for one am not sad to see it go.
Nope.
I can't even remember the last time I went to a website that used Flash.
Well, everybody's been advised to move to HTML5 for forever now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's still sites out there that use Flash, right?
I'm sure.
I mean, it's
not
like...
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
Is it blocked in browsers now? I know, like...
Yeah. Some are
saying Firefox has blocked them for a while.
You can manually turn them back on.
Right. That makes me wonder. I had a client who, as late as last month, I remember them actually having Flash on one of their sites that we manage.
Well, Joel, I had a lot of anxiety over the past couple of days, and this is a topic we talked about in the past. I never realized how difficult this would be. This choice would be. For Christmas, I got Paige an air fryer. And I was like, I don't want an air fryer. I was gonna get her a pressure cooker because she does
right,
a lot
you
of.
You bought it for Paige though, so you telling me you got Paige one and you got you one?
No, I didn't get. No. Hold on. So all right. I was talking to my wife and I'm like, does she have an Instapot? I didn't know if she had an Instapot. I was gonna get her a pressure cooker because right. I used the hell Instapot, out of my pressure yeah. cooker. And I didn't want to get her one if she had a pressure cooker. If she had an Instapot, I didn't know what she did. So I was talking to her, and she said, we were talking about it, and she doesn't have an Instapot, and she said she's kind of interested in an air fryer. And I said, well, what would you rather have?
Right.
A pressure cooker or an air fryer? Now, granted, a pressure cooker is like $20, right? You get a decent pressure cooker for $20.
Well, technically, if you get the Ninja Foodie, you can get both.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, if you get the Ninja Foodie, you can get both.
She said she was... More, it would probably be more useful to have an air fryer than a pressure cooker right now.
Right.
So I got her an air fryer, and she didn't she didn't even open it for like a week or a week and a half. And then when I talked about it the other day, I'm like, you know, she's like, oh, I've been using the air fryer and it's awesome. And she loves the hell out of it. And I'm like, I've been on the fence about getting one because the biggest problem I have with an air fryer is like there's four to five people I got to be cooking for on a regular basis.
You can't make a lot of food with it, right?
Yeah, it doesn't look like you're going to fit a lot of food. Now, I got her a 5.8 quart one, and she says it makes for her and her boyfriend full meals. Like, not a problem.
Okay.
Barely an inconvenience, right? It's great.
I'd agree.
It works perfectly. Yeah. And so I said, how many chicken thighs could you fit in there? Just kind of getting a ballpark frame. She said, like, four, maybe five or six if she puts
that
it.
That sounds about right, yeah.
Now, because I'm like, typically, I'm doing like eight chicken thighs. So I'm like... Right. Well, maybe they have a larger capacity one because she's saying how much she loves it. I'm like, you know, it wouldn't be bad to have like another type of device like that because then I wouldn't have to worry about trying to fit everything in our oven and having to worry about cooking things at different temperatures and stuff like that. I could do something there. So I spent the past couple of days, like 4 days, looking at air fryers and reviews and back and forth all over the freaking place. And like,
you got one?
Now, see, here's the problem.
Or you're still on the fence.
Here's the problem. So I looked through a bunch of different reviews. I would look on Amazon. I'd look at reviews and stuff like that. And then I'd go off and I'd look up that model and look at reviews and YouTube videos and stuff like that and watch them. And there's this guy. I got to give him credit.
Not the Wolf Pit.
No, not the Wolf. The Wolf Pit loves his air fryer.
Of course he does. I do too.
So I'm not going to, I'm not going to there. It's called.
The temperature differences makes a difference because here's, like, tonight, my wife heated up the oven to do the fish in the oven, and then I just fired up the air fryer to do the French fries, and they were complete right about the same time.
Right.
Two different temperatures, so yeah.
So I found a couple of different models that were large capacity and looked like they may be decent, but I wanted to get better reviews. And one of them was the New Wave Brio that I was looking at.
Okay.
14-quart digital air fryer. So I went over, and it was looking between that, and then there was one made by Instapot that was ranked. And there was a third one, and I watched the video by Wave Oven Recipes. This guy does a bunch of them. He does a 30-day review, which was perfect.
Right.
For the New Wave Brio. And he had me sold on this thing, right? I looked at it, I watched it, he went through all the stuff he did, what he thought about, the pros and cons, and how well he did. Until the end of the video where he compared it to other models, and he's like, he had two other New Wave models he compared it to and another non-New Wave, and the Brio beat it. And then he was like, he came to this third New Wave model and he's like, I like the third one better, but ultimately the fourth one, this fourth New Wave model, which was this griller one, is the top one that he loved the best. Like, he compared them all to this. He said, this thing, out of all of it, right in the middle was like,
dude, the Brio is a 14-quart one. Wow.
Right. So I was like, between this one, and I looked at the oven one, the Primo oven one, that he was the griller one that he was talking about that he loved so much, and it's like $300. And not in stock anywhere. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to dump $300. I was okay between $100 and $150, but not $300. So the other model I was looking at was the New Wave Bravo XL 30-quart convection oven air fryer.
Right.
And so I spent like a whole day just watching videos, reading, going back and forth, like looking at these things, because I'm like, and what it ultimately comes down to is the New Wave Brio is a air fryer, and the New Wave Bravo, an air fryer that has a convection feature and does like all the other things, and the New Wave Bravo is a convection oven that does air frying. So it's
an air fryer is a convection oven, by the way, for the most part.
Yeah. But there's a little bit. Now this one, the New Wave Bravo, which kind of sold me initially, was the fact that you could do a 13-inch pizza in there. Like you could do a 12-inch pizza. Yeah. And I'm like, that's awesome. And it has a top and a bottom heating element. And you can control the percentage on both of those. And it goes up to 450 degrees, which most of them either go to 400 or 425.
400. 400 is about the max. I have two, because my Gallant's microwave also is has an air fry mode as well. And it only goes up to 400. The only kind of negative is if you have something that really wants 450, and usually more common with certain things like if you got frozen chicken nuggets or something like that,
Yeah.
Which, by the way, so much better in the air fryer.
That's what I heard. And this one will do up to a 10-pound chicken, it says, in there.
Right.
Now, the downside was it didn't have a rotisserie attachment.
The Brio does.
No, the Bravo.
Oh, the Bravo.
The Brio does.
Okay.
The Bravo doesn't.
Right.
And I'm like, so, I got my wife to watch the stuff and read through it. Now, I read the comments, and on on the Bravo, the biggest comment was controlling this thing is not intuitive and the directions are kind of spotty and you've really got to read it and learn how to use it, right? That was the biggest complaint that people had. And all the reviews outside of Amazon that I read highly praised this thing and said it was awesome. And like,
the Bravo looks like a freaking toaster oven.
Right, but that's it. You know, that's the thing. It's more of a toaster slash convection oven. It does toasting and baking really well and air frying kind of secondly, whereas the air fryer, the Brio is more of an air fryer that has like the convection and some of that. But this is the way I broke it down. And my wife was kind of like reading the thing and she's like, I'm kind of edging towards the Bravo. My wife was like, maybe we should get the Bravo. And I'm like, I'm kind of edging towards that too. But, you know, this is also for the kids to use and the controls might be a little confusing. But we have a toaster oven, which we've been thinking about replacing for over a year now because it's pretty much shot. It doesn't work very well. Yeah, it's not. So I'm like, here's what we could do. Let's get the Bravo. It's like $150, right? It's not that big of an investment. It'll replace the toaster oven. We'll see how that works. And if we like it or, you know, we just don't think it fits the bill for an air fryer, we'll fucking buy the Brio in a month, right? It's only another, like,
there you go,
$90 to $130, right? You know, that could be like a birthday present. We just, and the other downside. Well,
what's the benefits of an air fryer?
So less grease and things, you know, like for example, like I did fries in my air fryer tonight. Mine actually has a basket for the fries, which is very nice. But they come out crispy and not kind of limp like it does in the oven, you know. Much better tasting.
So what makes an air fryer really like a great tool is, It is a small convection oven.
Yep.
So you have the heating element. Yeah, you have the heating element closer to the food at the same time it's circulating the air all around the food, which is why, like, that's the big thing. You need the air, because in a regular non-convection oven, the air doesn't
not moving, just kind of there.
As efficiently as you can. When you do the convection oven, you're actually pushing the heat on the air, the heated air onto the food, which causes it to cook faster and you get more of a crisp fry outside. Without
plus your French fries are much healthier because you're not using oil.
Right. Correct. But typically on a standard air fryer, which are mostly basket shaped, the big thing that you need to do with these ovens is you need to get the air around the whole thing, which is why something like fries, you would put them in a basket that would rotate, so it keeps circulating the air and all around the food.
I've been thinking about getting my own they called toaster ovens, but you can get some of the toaster ovens that are also air fryers.
Yep. If I had to choose between a regular toaster oven and a toaster oven air fryer, I'd get the other one. I'd get the air fryer one.
Because I'm mostly cooking my own meals these days.
Right.
Because I have different requirements for my diet than everybody else in the household.
It comes down to what you want to do with it. Like, if you want to fry an air fryer, if you want to replace like fried foods, like frying French fries and deep frying stuff,
well, I gotta probably the way to go.
Probably an air fryer. When you start getting into the toaster oven models, like which is the one that I got, specifically because we're replacing our toaster oven, right? You're not like, you can toast bread in an air fryer, but it's not going to come out as well as you toast it in one of the convection toaster ovens.
True.
So if I wanted to, you know,
make a
pizza,
yeah,
it would be better in the toaster oven as opposed to the air fryer.
Actually, I'm going to throw something on its ear here. I air fry my, like, I get the bubbly crust, make a pizza, and I air fry that. And it actually comes out awesome.
I the reviews that I have read, have both sides have said pizza, frozen pizza stuff that you buy or whatever, or pizza that you make air in fry. There, it turns out pretty well, pretty good. But most of the air fryers that I looked at, and the specific reason why I was turned on more about 30 quart is primarily because of the larger capacity to do a 12 inch pizza. Yep. And you could fit, they say you could fit a 9 by 13 inch metal pan in there, but not a glass one with handles.
Nice.
That's kind of like what I looked at with that. Like, if it's just you, Joe, and you're looking at doing air frying stuff, probably an air fryer more so than a convection oven toaster might be more of what you're looking for, unless you really want and think like the higher, like that 50 more degrees makes a difference to be able to toast. Mm-hmm.
No, it won't. Yep. Mostly what I'd be cooking would be in the 350 degree range, which, you know, not difficult to get to.
Nope.
Which is why you can do fries and stuff like, and chicken nuggets, everything like that, very well at a lower temperature in a air fryer, because it's constantly rotating the heat and it cooks it like that a little faster. It's a lot more efficient.
Right.
Yeah.
Another thing you could do with some of them, like the one you, so you actually bought the Bravo?
I did. I ordered the Bravo today.
Cool. The Bravo, and then the one I have, which I forget which one I have. I can go look at it sitting on the counter now because I actually got to clean it up before I go to bed. But both that Bravo and the one I have also can dehydrate food. But guess what else you can use the dehydrate mode for, Joe?
Toasting your
drying
weed,
out
man.
Filament.
Yeah, dry. Yeah.
Well, you could do that too.
That's true. Turn it to low heat and toss it in there.
Yep.
And...
Yeah. Put a hundred. I set mine 100 degrees, and like I had this red transparent filament that for some dumb reason, it's PLA. It's not PETG, but for some reason,
was moist.
Well, sometimes when it's printing. It would either snap, or if it printed fine and it was just sitting there after it cooled, the filament would just snap right out of the extruder. Okay. I put it in apparently when your filament becomes brittle like that, that's a sign that it has moisture in it. So I put it in the dehydrator for, you know, about 6 hours, and then pulled it out, put it on there, and I had a successful print of what I wanted to do at the time. I forget what I printed in it. Oh, I think it was either – no. I'm trying to think if I printed the decorations for – there's a neat tree that actually looks like a little bit like a toilet brush. But basically it looks more like an actual evergreen tree. That I printed for like a Christmas decoration. Then I printed some transparent red decorations. So those printed fine. So that's another added thing you could do with the air fryers: dehydrate filament. You know, and then the great thing is you don't have to wash it out after you do that either.
I have been actually having French toast for breakfast every morning. Four slices of French toast. But it only comes, the four slices all together only comes out to about 300 calories.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Do you use real syrup, like real maple syrup on it, or like sugar-free?
Sugar-free.
Okay. I don't know how French toast would work in an air fryer. I guess it would work okay. Like some of the air fryers have like a basket, but it's not a basket. It's more like a pan.
Yeah,
you know
I'm
what
not
I mean?
Doing it in an air fryer. I'm doing it in a pan.
Yep. It might work in an air fryer. I don't know. I never thought about that. But it's funny, though, what I will put in there, like if I buy, like, those Tyson frozen chicken nuggets or something.
Yeah, that's too processed. I'm not going to do that.
Well, they're pre-cooked.
Yeah,
but they got microwave instructions. Yeah, they got microwave instructions, but basically I just do them in the air fryer and they come out so much better.
The reason I was thinking about it for like fries is because I was actually going to make potato wedges. I was going to take a whole potato.
Right.
I was going to cut it into wedges and toss it in the air fryer.
That would work, actually. Yeah, that would work. It might take a little longer. Because the thing with air frying things, like, you wouldn't want, like, if you want to do batter dipped fish or something that wasn't like a frozen, but if you wanted to do something like with a wet coating on the outside, it doesn't really work well. But like a panko or something like that, that would work great. Any kind of dry coating usually works a lot better in there. So like you can take that potato, slice it up, and then I would coat it with like a Pam or some sort of a cooking spray, and then just toss in like some like a Lowry seasonal or something like that, and try that. I'm gonna have to try that. I have not done that yet. Usually, when I do fries, I'll just buy a bag or ride of fries out of the frozen food department and do those in there, and they come out good. I've done curly fries in it too. The only thing I will say is if you do tater tots in the air fryer, don't do them in the basket because it kind of bashes them to bits. Just put them on the trays. But not every air fryer, though, has a rotating basket like mine does. Like, I don't think that the one Bravo does. It just has a mesh basket that you can put them in. And you probably have to – I believe you probably every once in a while, Dan, if you're using that, you'd probably want to take that basket, you know, just pull it open temporarily, take a basket, shake it a little bit so they move the fries around a little bit so they don't get on the edges that's touching the basket.
Okay.
Little kind of hints there. So that's something I would try, like if you're doing like the frozen fries. Because I like to, you know, like I said, anytime you have something that requires a different temperature than maybe the main dish, it's great to have that. The one thing I thought about too, well, we're getting a gas oven in the house, but I'm thinking, what, at some point when that goes away, do I want to, when I get a new oven, do I want to get one of those ones with two different ovens in it? Have you seen those? Because sometimes it would be nice on those, but the only thing I have a concern with on those is that one of the ovens will be a lot smaller than the other, and it might limit what you can put in there. So like if you want a 20-pound turkey in there, I don't know if it would fit in one of those double ovens, because they have double, like it's a double oven that fits in the space of a regular oven, so both ovens are kind of smaller. So, but I don't care because I got my air fryer. Air fryer works good. The old microwave we used to have in the house, which I'll miss, because when we bought that microwave, when we did our kitchen remodel, that was a great microwave. It had the best popcorn mode of any microwave I've ever used. Very rarely would you pull out a bag of microwave popcorn that has no dead kernels in it, which is awesome. But the other thing I liked about that was it also had convection in it as well. And I have cooked pizzas in that as well. Convection ovens and air fryers aren't that much different. They're pretty much the same. It's just the size that's different. Joe said moist.
Yeah, I did that on purpose.
Moist. Moist chicken is good. Yeah. Better than a dry ass stuff.
I don't know if I ever told this story, but my mom loved rotisserie chicken. So for her Christmas or birthday one year, I can't remember which it was, I got her a rotisserie. And she never used it because my mom wanted rotisserie chicken. She didn't want to make rotisserie chicken. She just wanted the rotisserie chicken.
She wanted to buy it.
Yeah, she didn't want to
walk
make
over
it
to Walmart and get a rotisserie chicken.
Yeah, you can go to pretty much any grocery store anymore and get a rotisserie chicken. At least pretty around much. Here. I mean, they all do that.
And they're not expensive either. It's like $5 for a chicken. It's like, yeah, that's what, like Sam's Club, that's what theirs are, $5.
And see, there's a problem for me right here. I'm like, man, I'm kind of bummed that it doesn't have a rotisserie feature, because it would be great to do rotisserie chicken. But then I'm like, well, how often would you do rotisserie chicken? You had a rotisserie for so long, you'd go out and smoke the chicken before you would put it on the rotisserie.
Yeah, when it costs you just as much to go buy the rotisserie chicken as it would to buy a raw chicken.
Chicken and do it yourself, yeah.
Oh, I don't mind. It's not about doing it myself. It's just if I'm going to do it myself, I'm going to smoke it before I will do anything else with it.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that, Dan. I'd rather have the smoked chicken than I would the rotisserie. You have a smoker?
Who, me? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I smoked prime rib for Christmas, baby.
There you go.
That was so friggin'.
That's and actually probably higher on the list of stuff that I want at the house before, right away, is going to be a grill / smoker / I don't know what. I have my old Brinker smoker, which is, you know, the old charcoal style, you know. Right. But I'm thinking about when I buy a grill, I might buy a Traeger pellet grill or something like that, which could also smoke, which I would be perfectly fine with. And not doing I have almost like a full tank of gas that I had from my old grill. I still have the gas. It's actually sitting in my office now because I ain't got nowhere else to put it.
You know what you can do with
practice.
That?
Or any place to use it.
You can take it out in the middle of the country and shoot at it.
You know what else?
Far away.
Now, do I look like the dude on Daggers?
You can get yourself a turkey fryer or a seafood
boil. Anyway, go ahead.
A turkey fryer or a seafood boil. Hook that propane tank right on
you. You get yourself a scope and you get yourself a 30-06. You get at least, you know, 3/4 of a mile away.
Actually, no, I know what I would do with it. Because what I would probably do is when you camp, those little cylinders of propane are, like, when you add it up, are freaking expensive. But what you can buy is there is a tree that you can buy, which basically is a pole that has the same connector that like your typical little propane tanks would have. That you could, so about halfway up it, one of those, so you can cook. You can put it right by your camp stove, hook the camp stove into that, and then on the top of it is a socket for your propane lantern. Which I do have a propane lantern, which I like. And the one reason why I like that when I'm camping over plain old battery-powered lantern is the fact that it also produces a little warmth. So if it's a little chilly in the evening when you're out there cooking dinner, you got a little heat from that too. So if you go like in a late fall, like I personally like to camp when it's a little colder. That's just me. That's just something I like. As long as it's not raining, I don't care. But so I could do that with that. So and then I just keep refilling that. Use it for camping. That would last a whole season camping easy, depending on how many trips I go. You know. And then there's that. Plus you can also, like, I think there's more than one connector on the pole. So like you can connect up those infrared heaters too. So there's that, but
yeah, I need a space heater for my garage.
My brother has a pellet grill. So does my dad. So that's typically what they use now when they're smoking or cook grilling stuff. So, and then another thing I thought about for the, because we're gonna have that screen room, is one of those area heaters. Have you ever seen those? I think those are run off propane too. So they're like on a pole, and they kind of look like almost like a lantern. But
yeah, I've seen them.
Yep. So if I figure I can put that out there, and then we can turn that into more of a
do not use fall, an enclosed spring, space. Summer.
It's not enclosed. It's got it's a screen room, so the screens are open. It's not enclosed. I mean, it's enclosed.
Right. But there's airflow. You know. Okay.
Right. There's plenty of airflow. So. But yeah, something like that.
I'd put in my garage, though.
No, I wouldn't do that. No. Out there, though, it would be fine. You know, and I could just keep it out there. You know, be out of the weather. But.
I wonder how well a heat lamp would do. I have a heat lamp. Probably not that good.
Well, you're getting cold down your...
Easy
well,
bake oven.
In your garage now, right? Is that where your office is?
Yeah, right. Well, my son's working in the living room. I could work in the same room with him. It just... With him being on Zoom calls and then me being on phone calls...
On Zoom calls, it's, right.
It's kind of the battle of the volume.
So I'm glad my wife works at home too, but she's never on a call. Like today I was on four or five different calls.
Yeah, I spend basically all day on the phone.
And so, I'm not 100% sure when it's going to happen or if it's going to happen, but they're talking about changing up the on-call rotation. So senior admins like myself are never primary. We're always secondary.
Oh, you're going to be, instead of the first level of escalation, you're going to be the second level of escalation?
Yep, which means I hardly will ever get paged.
That's good.
Yep. And we're also talking about, like, one of the things that was annoying when I was second, especially on the weekends, when I was on primary call, we page on priority twos. All right. But they had a non-prod They had non-prod events as P2s, which means we got paged on those for non-prod on the weekend. No. So we're going to try, I think we're going to try to reclassify it as priority threes. At least on the weekends, if not during the week too. But in fact, I think they already got that part done. Because I had the primary on call picked up a P3, and I helped them through it today. But
yeah.
So
no, we're still in like a massive change freeze. So. It should be a while before things start breaking again, unless hardware starts breaking down. And if hardware starts breaking down, that's not my problem.
Now, see, my favorite, though, is we're getting close to where people are running their first payrolls for the year already. But yet R&D keeps bringing out brand urgent updates.
No, somebody said to me today that they were having a problem in a non-production area. And my response was, the only thing I heard was, that's not my problem.
Right. Well, see, the only real difference with us is our clients' non-prod areas are where a lot of their IT folks work. And we do allow client customizations. We're not SaaS. A lot of times those non-prod environments are more prod because that's where they do their daily work. But that's only Monday through Friday, so why should we be getting paged on Saturday or Sunday because a process that could wait until Monday died? So hopefully less pages. And we're concentrating more on process improvement and trying to eliminate as many problems as we can. And if we can't eliminate the problem, we automate the fix to the problem. So, but yes, my air fryer is one of my favorite kitchen tools. And at first I thought I was not going to take my regular air fryer with us to the apartment, but I'm glad I did. Because the Galanz does not have a basket. Technically. It will, like, now the Galanz came with like a pan that elevates the food for that you're air frying. So it's closer to the burner. And it also, since it's a microwave too, also has turntable at the bottom, so it also rotates that. So I haven't tried doing anything but like chicken nugs in the galans for air frying, but no, I want to try. I want to try doing like there is a YouTube channel called Living the Van Life, the guy's name's Chad, and currently his home/camper is, because he lives in it, is a Vanagon in Westfalia, which is the camper that Volkswagen made with Westfalia. And he's since modified it and all that stuff. That was his first one. He just bought a brand new Mercedes Sprinter van, and he's converting that to his new home/camper. But he just brought out a video this week. It was really relaxing video where he was the way he filmed it was he was working on his new Mercedes van. And he had the radio on while he's doing that, and the radio said, "Hey, there's a winter storm warning for the Cascade Mountains," and he decided to jump in his van again and go out into the mountains during the snowstorm. And the whole time in the video, he didn't talk at all. But one of the things he did was he cooked he had some chicken, like two chicken breasts and some broccoli, and he cut up some Brussels sprouts and put that with some coconut oil in. He had like a cast iron Dutch oven that he hung over a solo stove, which a solo stove is essentially like a small metal barrel that you just burn wood in. And he cooked it over that. And with the oil, he also seasoned it with the Montreal steak seasoning. I want to try that. I can probably do that at home. I don't have to go out camping to do that, but I can probably do that at home because, you know, fresh Brussels sprouts are the only way I like to eat them. My wife likes to buy the frozen ones that are drenched in butter. I hate those. They stink. She likes to microwave them, but I want to try doing stuff like that, either an air fryer or I have a cast iron fry pan too that I absolutely like. The best thing about cast iron is you pretty much don't wash it. You just clean all the food off of it, dry it off, and then put a coating of cooking oil on it, and that's it. And it's nonstick. Love my cast iron. You ever cook cast iron, Dan?
Pretty much every day.
Uh-oh, he ran off.
Primarily what I use.
Okay.
No, I'm here. I use...
That's cool.
Primarily cast iron every day.
Cast iron.
I do it for everything.
Cool. The only thing I like my cast iron for a lot of things. Actually, one of the things I like to make in it is like to make a shepherd's pie, because basically I just make the brown the meat in there, then throw the vegetables and the sauce into the pan, mix it together, and then I just throw the potatoes on top and take the whole thing and stick it in the oven.
Yeah, I have a lot of cast iron. I have a
shepherd's pie. 12-inch.
I have a 12-inch pan, a 10-inch nice. Pan, a 6-inch pan. I got a 7-quart Dutch oven, a 5-quart Dutch oven, which I primarily bake in, and then I got an enameled 5-quart Dutch oven. So I have a cast yep. iron grill pan, which I use in my grill frequently. There you go. So I've got a lot of cats.
Nice. I need to get a wok. Yeah. I need to get a new wok. I had a Calflon wok that the coating on the bottom is gone. So I need to get another one of those. So I do like you. When I don't use the cast iron, like if I'm doing a stir fry, I'd rather use that.
Well, you know, I should be...
What were you going to say, Dan?
If I'm not using the cast iron, I'm probably using my wok.
Yeah.
No, I use my wok.
I have a wok pan, but are you talking about like a wok that heats like has a heating element?
No, no. I'm talking about wok pan.
No, that you just put cast.
That might
have a stainless steel wok.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
You have a cast iron wok. Thing. Oh, stainless steel.
No,
wok.
No, okay. I have a stainless steel one.
I looked at the cast iron woks and I'm like, oh, they're kind of heavy. Like cast iron is heavy, so a cast iron wok is going to have be heavy. And I'm yeah, and so I'm like, I'm good with the traditional.
That's like if somebody was breaking in my
pounded out steel wok.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I was gonna say if someone was breaking in my front door, the first thing I would do on my way to the door would be to grab my cast iron fry pan off the stove.
That'd probably be easier to swing than the stainless steel wok.
True.
No, seriously.
True. And do a lot more damage because that fry pan's heavy.
I'm sorry, I'm not a,
actually,
not a,
one of the things I
not
need
a stainless steel.
My...
I have a carbon steel.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Like aluminum?
Oh,
no,
okay,
carbon steel, yeah.
Looks like stainless steel, though.
See, the one I have, does yours have like a long handle on yours, too? Mine does.
Yes. Yes.
Like mine's got the long handle on the one side.
Yeah,
and
one long
short handle
on
the other
side.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, mine
does. Mine
too.
Like the little handle grip. Yeah.
If I'm going to fry something,
I
typically fry it in a wok.
I will make spaghetti in a wok because
right.
I can, you know, start out and cook the meat.
Yeah.
And then it's still, because, you know, it's got enough of a bottom that it'll get the heat and you'll be able to brown the meat there. And then you toss
in
everything else. And yeah, there's more than enough room for all the sauce.
Right. Sauce and onion and.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe a little sausage in there too or some meatballs.
Yeah, you are just about that sausage and meatballs, aren't you?
Of course. Ironically, I probably eat less Irish food than anything. I haven't made spaghetti in a long time, though. We used to eat Dreamfield pasta, which kind of had a scam going on where, you know, they told you had 6 net carbs per serving, which was incorrect. And how we discovered that was they were actually called on that by somebody. I forget who called them out on that. So now they still sell this stuff, but they don't say it's low carb anymore because it really isn't.
That's what zero oodles are for?
Yeah. Have you ever
miracle
tried
noodles?
What's miracle noodles? Is that like a zucchini?
It's a shiitake.
Okay. The I've tried the zucchini, like making just making a pasta sauce, regular pasta sauce, and then I get the zucchini noodles that are already, you know, spiralized out of the frozen food section.
Yeah, the zucchini spiral.
Just throw those in a hot pan with some little bit of oil, maybe a little garlic, and there you go. And it comes out pretty good. I like it. My wife does not. But now what I do eat, like in the mornings, I try to stick, you know, trying to cut carbs. I'm not going keto or anything, but I'm trying to cut carbs. So I'll have bought the Jimmy Dean egg witches. Which instead of a biscuit, the parts that make the sandwich are actually made out of egg. So it's egg, cheese, and sausage. They're pretty decent for a processed food. I need to start cutting some of that stuff back, but it's difficult.
It's not.
Well, in my family it is.
Yeah, that's why my family eats differently than me.
Right. Yeah, I can't justify that. Like, I gotta, if I cook something, everybody's got to be able to eat it. Because I'm not cooking 3 different dinners.
I've been following recipes from Greg Doucette, so, on YouTube.
Never seen him stuff.
Check it out.
I might. Has the Wolf Pit put out any videos lately, Dan? I don't think he has.
I haven't seen stuff in a couple of weeks.
So lots and lots of ice cream for me.
That's the devil, man. Ice cream.
Anabolic ice cream.
Like you ever what's that one low cal one?
It's main no. You make your own.
Halo Top.
It's mainly I have had Halo Top. Halo Top's not bad. But you basically take protein powder and frozen fruit and guar gum and ice and blend it all together.
Now, I did run into something in the Atkins section. Cheesecake bites.
Well, I just got a recipe for brownie bites.
There you go. It's been a month since there's been a new Wolf Pit video. And then 2 months before the last one.
I hope
the last
we'll be getting some
video
more
he
soon.
Did was Marie Callender's meatloaf. Well, from my understanding, he's the point where he has to have a special kind of van that he could drive. So, and he is a I want to say I thought he had Parkinson's, but I don't think he has that. I think he has something going on with his hands or something where his hands shake when he's trying to cut stuff. So a lot of the times in his videos where you see the hands now are his wife's hands, not his. But
Lou Gehrig's?
He has another channel too.
Multiple sclerosis?
I don't know what he has. I have to see. Maybe that's it. That might be it. I can't remember. He had a video on his other channel. Because he has another channel. I can't remember. I just like it when he says, I do this for you, the people, so you don't have to.
Yeah. We got to start wrapping this up. It's late. And I got to go.
I don't always
tomorrow.
Agree with him. Yeah.
I
don't
all
always
have to
agree
work
with
tomorrow.
Him. Yeah, we do. Yeah, I don't always agree with him. Like, he didn't like the Devour. Buffalo mac and cheese. I like it. It's actually pretty tasty.
Sounds disgusting. You lost me at mac and cheese.
Oh, mac and cheese is delicious, isn't it?
Nope, it's disgusting.
Make one of my favorite YouTubers makes a buffalo chicken lasagna. I'm going to have to try making that someday.
Sounds okay.
Anyway, thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah,
see you next
let's
week.
Just wrap it up. Here we go. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Joel and Joe and here and Pat. I don't think Pat's here anymore.
Hope he left.
Indeed.
All right. Well, here are the promos, and we'll see you in 7 days. Happy New Year.
Oh, my God. It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello. My name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called Libre Quest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? With my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
While you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm tired.
Excuse me.
Nice.
Been talking too much. I finally watched finally watched Captain Marvel. It was alright. Definitely not the best Marvel movie.
Have you ever seen Pitch Meeting? It's a show on YouTube, Screen Rant. It's called Pitch Meeting. It's freaking hilarious. It is so good. It's just one guy who goes in and he plays both parts, and he does a pitch meeting for like all the movies we love. And it's hilarious. And it's so good. It is. I don't want to give anything away.
It does sound
it's
funny.
So good. It is. It's worth it. It's. I will send you a link to it.
Oh, you're done, but... have you seen the movie? The movies that made us yet. It's by the same guys who did the toys that made us.
Oh no, I didn't. Oh no, I was thinking. No, I didn't. I did not. Is that out on Netflix?
I think so. I'm looking it up. So I think one of them was one of the movies that made us was Home Alone.
Oh man, I'm trying to think whether I saw some of these. Like, it looks familiar, but I can't remember. Like, I had to have seen this.
There's actually just two of them: the movies that made us and the holiday movies that made us. So the movies that made us is Dirty Dancing, Home Alone, Ghostbusters, and Die Hard. That's in season one. There's only one season. And the holiday movies that made us are Elf and The Nightmare Before Christmas. I haven't watched it either. According to Netflix, I've watched two of them.
Oh wow! Yeah, I was just looking at this too. I can't believe it was over a year ago, and I think the one I haven't seen yet is the Die Hard one. I've watched the other ones. Yeah,
yeah, I haven't watched it either. I wouldn't watch the Dirty Dancing one because I don't care about that movie.
I like that.
The only reason I ever watched that movie was because Patrick of Jennifer Swayze. Grey. Yeah, Jennifer Grey, dude. She went and got a nose job and jacked herself up, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, I didn't think she had a bad nose at all. She was hot and freaking Ferris Bueller, man.
Say goodnight, Joel.
Back in the day. Goodnight, Joel.
That should fix that. Mm. It shouldn't be too loud.
Maybe. Got me a new router, Dan.
So you're doing, talk about it. You're doing some routing?
Got a mesh network system now.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep, right. We'll talk about it.
Dun, dun. Hi, Pat. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Dan.
What's up?
Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year to you.
Had me some fish and french fries today for dinner.
What kind of fish?
Like Gorton's frozen stuff, I think.
Gorton!
I don't know.
Trust the Gorton fisherman.
It's okay. I mean, it's not the greatest, but you know, hey.
I like Gorton's. I am. Got no problem with Gordon's.
Now, I don't know lunch. What my wife actually cooked it, which was pretty awesome. But and I don't know what she did, but for some reason the batter all stuck to the pan, and I'm like, did you spray this or anything? I want to spray a little Pam on my pan before I do anything. Actually, I do that in my air fryer too. Like I got one of the air fryer I have has the basket in it, you know, the tumble one.
Uh-huh.
So I'll spray some Pam on the inside of that before I dump the fries in the air fryer.
Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Hold on. all right.
$540 for my network home, too, at the new house.
Well, I want to hear about that, too, now. So,
yeah.
Here we go.
This See, I actually bring stuff to the show, but, you know, hey. Oh. And I want to rant about a book I bought on Amazon.
A paper book?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, fire this off. This is 888.
Yeah. First.
Here we go. You ready, Joe?
Always ready.
All right, boy. Here we go.
Except for last week and the week before.
Obviously. We noticed. Missed you too, Pat.
Yes, we did.
The holidays. Yeah.
Gotta go.